Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
All right, let's see what Dr. Jeffrey Copen is up to. He is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. This conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Dr. Copen listens to these silly jokes all the time, sitting there waiting for us to get to them. Hi, Dr. Copen. How are you?
I'm good, John. So did you, I missed your discussion of the Oscars. Did you watch them?
Yes, we did.
And?
I thought the show was good. I thought Conan O'Brien was terrific. I thought the opening with Conan coming out of Demi Moore's body from The Substance was really funny. I like the musical tribute to James Bond, although why were we doing a musical tribute to James Bond? But all things considered, I thought the show was good. And I was happy that, I'm sorry, Demi Moore, if you're listening, I was glad she didn't win an Oscar. And I thought that Adrian Brody's performance was the best performance I saw this year. How about you, Doc?
I didn't watch the Oscars, and truth be told, I think I saw one of the movies.
Oh.
But I did see Conan O'Brien's bit about his new invention for streaming movies.
I know.
The movie theater. Yes. I thought that was great.
It's like a million cell phones all stuck together. And they say, well, how will we turn it on? No, we'll turn it on for you.
And how do we hold all those phones? Don't worry, the building will hold it for you.
You know, it reminds me of the brilliant idea I came up with one time, and I almost did this truly inadvertently, but I thought, I'm always losing my cell phone. You know what we should have in the house? One cell phone dedicated to one spot, and we'll put a cord on it, and it'll be like, just in, it'll always be in the, and I went, oh, you idiot, that's the phone you got rid of.
My wife and I watched this film, September 5, about the Munich Olympics
yeah.
in 1972. And I do recommend it. It's the ABC Sports production team, John. And the way that they experienced and for the first time televised live something like a terrorist attack. I'm sure you remember it. I do.
It's...
In real time. And there's a scene where a guy is making a phone call on a rotary telephone. And I'm thinking, there's kids out there have no idea what that device is.
That's one of the tricks you'll see on the internet sometimes, is they give one of those to a kid and say, okay, call somebody. And they have no idea how a rotary phone works. Maybe given enough time, they'd randomly go, oh, I get it. But it's not intuitive to them the same way it's not intuitive to us how some of the gadgets that they are comfortable with work. Let's stop talking about that and talk a little bit about the world of medicine. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this issue, but just give me the latest on measles in Texas. One person, I believe is the number, has passed away. A little under 200 people have contracted it, and almost exactly half of them were not vaccinated. The Health and Human Service Secretary said something along the lines of, you should get vaccinated after you consult with the physician to make sure it's right for you. But he didn't run away from vaccines. He was endorsing vaccines. Doctor, your thoughts?
Yeah, so I read that, and I commend to all of our listeners, John, if you check out what RFK Jr., now is the Secretary of Health and Human Services, he had to say on this subject. He posted it on the Fox News digital site on Sunday evening. It's easy to find on the internet. The sub headline I was all enthusiastic about. It said MMR, the measles vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella, is the best way to avoid measles. That's terrific. But later on in the body of the article, it's talking about, and I have no problem with this, the importance of parents understanding the safety and efficacy of the vaccine. Of vaccines, and then it goes on to say vaccination is a personal choice. And that's a departure from public health, from longstanding public health advice, and more than advice, what's mandatory to go to school. We can't go to school without having pediatric vaccinations unless there's an appropriate waiver, and there's strict rules about these waivers. So I was dismayed, John, to see that. I hope that this is not the first statement that we're going to see to lead to more vaccine hesitancy and lack of vaccination, particularly of kids, but not only kids in the United States.
He also referred to just having a sort of healthy and balanced diet, that nutrition is important. And what I read was that, yeah, it is, but that's kind of irrelevant to this conversation. Do you have a thought about that?
Yeah, and look, nutrition is great. And, you know, I've said this before together with you, John. If RFK Jr. wants to talk about nutrition and issues with the diet that the typical American eats and our obesity problem, boy, I have no problem with that. Please, you know, Bobby, use your bully pulpit for that. But stay away from the vaccinations. We got this down. Nutrition is important, but it's not going to do anything to keep somebody from contracting measles.
Right.
Now, it's true that a well-nourished kid, it's always kids, a well-nourished kid is going to do better with measles than a male-nourished kid. That is true. But that's not the issue for the most part that we deal with in the United States. So I think we have to be really careful. Good nutrition, important for everybody. But these vaccinations that we've been doing now for 60-plus years are safe, and they're very, very effective.
Okay, but
we have to continue to get them.
Let me ask you this, though, Doctor. Is there my understanding is that some people can get an exception for religious reasons, but I'm wondering if for scientific or medical reasons, is there any reason for somebody to not get the vaccine? And if so, is there a way to know who should not get the vaccine?
There are very rare kids that have medical conditions that make it dangerous to get certain vaccinations.
Yeah, and that's why I asked the second part of that question. And is there a way to know who should not get it?
Yeah, so the pediatrician that such children are cared for will be able to advise the parents which vaccines are safe and which ones are not. There's not a blanket statement we can make. This is very individualized, and I cannot stress enough that this is a very small group of people that we're talking about.
But there's not a blood test. I'm not going to get a little pinprick on my finger, and then they go, oh, you've got that thing. You can't get the MMR. We don't have that, do we?
Oh, I see where you're going. Yeah, there's certain kids with certain disease processes, John, that will make some vaccinations not advisable. The very rare kid who has that extremely rare complication of a vaccination, correct. We do not have blood tests for that.
We're talking to Dr. Jeffrey Copen. He is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Hey, Doc, flu, we've peaked, I'm reading. Is that your read on it as well?
It sure seems like it. The number of patients that we're caring for, John, with influenza is down. It's still high, the number, but it's not what it was 2 weeks ago. Our test positivity rate when we swab somebody for influenza is down a bit as well. So it seems like we're coming down from this influenza A that we've been suffering from for the last couple of months.
And if I had the flu, am I sort of self-inoculated now? I'm vaccinated because I had it?
Yeah, yeah.
How long do you think I can go without having to worry about getting it again?
Next fall.
Really? At least with that strain. Is there more than one strain out there?
Yeah, there's three major strains that are circulating. But for the most part, once people get one of them, they're going to be pretty... they're going to be in pretty good shape to deal with the other ones. The other thing that we now have, the Centers for Disease Control follows a group of people. They do this really cool study, and they look at how effective the influenza vaccine is every year. And it turns out it's about the usual effectiveness, but somewhere between 35 and 50% of people, depending where you look, it actually keeps people from getting the flu at all. And then the really important one is the likelihood of being hospitalized. And we talk a lot about this, John. The likelihood of being hospitalized, particularly if you're older with influenza, is decreased about 75% compared to somebody of the same age who has not been vaccinated. So not that I have to, again, stress the importance of influenza vaccination. Mm-hmm. That's a really good tidbit to remember next time you have the opportunity to be vaccinated.
Doctor, I meant to mention this to you last week. Former Governor Jim Edgar announced he has pancreatic cancer. I know that's there's no good kind of cancer, but this is certainly not a good one. Is there any way to know if somebody has it and they can catch it early? I mean, just talk a little bit about that disease.
And pancreatic cancer, John, it's relatively rare, but it's devastating. We all know people who've had diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and despite the best treatment we have available, it's a very serious, serious disease. We do not yet have a good screening test for pancreatic cancer, and I think that's part of the reason that we're so afraid of it, right? We can screen for colon cancer, we screen for breast cancer, which are far more common than pancreatic, but we do not have a good screening test for pancreatic cancer. And unfortunately, in many instances of pancreatic cancer, by the time the disease is symptomatic, mm-hmm. and we can make the diagnosis, the cancer is spread. So that's really the problem with it.
So then how do you treat that?
Yeah, there's various treatments. The people who are most fortunate, we have a surgical approach. There's surgical oncologists that do really amazing surgery when appropriate, and they're able to remove the cancer from people. But otherwise, there's various chemotherapy protocols that are tried, and there are various treatment protocols that are out there that are studies. We have many of them at Northwestern, trying new combinations of medications, different kinds of biologics that might be effective against pancreatic cancer. We have good reason to think they can be, but we need to study them to know better.
It's Dr. Jeffrey Copin, Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Doc, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, even about movies of which you know very little. So thank you for joining us, and maybe we could talk again next Tuesday.
You know what to talk to me about, Mr. Williams. Let's talk about medicine. You have other people to talk about movies. And just remember, everybody, stay well, and we'll talk next week. Bye-bye.